Baby Wallet Podcast. I'm Phil Lucas.
And I'm Phil Gerrard.
Why are we here, Phil?
Well, we are going to talk about the world's greatest disasters. Greatest! What went wrong, how it went wrong, and whether it was our fault or God in the sky's fault.
And remember, it's not our intention to make light of the sometimes quite substantial mortality rates involved in some of these disasters.
Never.
We're not making fun of people what died in that.
No.
We are just interested in finding out what went wrong. Right? And to be honest, you know, if it came on the news, I'm interested, you're interested, I reckon you're interested, Mr. Phil Lucas.
Love the news.
So, what are we wanging on about this week?
The Hoover Free Flights fiasco.
For the time being, Elwin and June Davis's dream holiday remains just that. They and their daughter bought Hoover cleaners, so they could take their 8-year-old granddaughter Danielle to Disney World in Florida. It's now 4 months since they applied for their free tickets, and they're getting worried.
We're very apprehensive about whether this is going to come off, and I would be most disappointed because there must be many people in our position with families who tell children that they're going to go to America, which is something, and to Disney World, something that every child wants to do, and she would be extremely disappointed.
We're just waiting to hear now, and we've been waiting quite a while.
You're worried you won't get your holiday?
Yes, we are.
So, Phil, the Hoover Free Flights fiasco. What was it?
It was a promotion offered by the Hoover Company that promised free airline tickets to customers who purchased more than £100 of product.
When did it happen?
1992.
Ah, back in the 90s, where things made
golden
sense.
Glory days.
How many people died?
I don't believe any did, Phil.
The thing I like about that is that even just in the description of what it was, the promotion offered by the Hoover Company promised free airline tickets for customers who purchased more than £100 worth of products. I mean, if somebody came to you with that as an idea, you'd be like,
fuck off.
What? What? So they buy something expensive, and for that, we give them something six times more expensive. It's like free cars with every bottle of Coke. It's insane.
It's like the time in Morocco when it was cheaper to buy a bottle of Coke than a bottle of water.
Was it really?
Yeah,
oh,
so I cleaned my teeth in Coke.
Right.
I was very young.
It was like, do you remember, people still do this. You know how it's cheaper to fly from like London to Edinburgh via Spain than it is, and people genuinely do it, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they do it so they can write newspaper articles about it, but people do it. So, Hoover, the vacuum cleaner company. What do we know about that company, Philip Lucas?
Ah, well, as you said, it's a vacuum cleaner company founded in America in 1908. But before it was called Hoover, it originally had a much snappier title.
Yep.
It was called the Electric Suction Sweeper Company.
Cool.
Before being changed in 1915 to the Hoover Suction Sweeper Company.
Do you know the thing about how vacuum cleaners started as trucks?
No.
The first vacuum cleaners, it was a service that you would buy, or, you know, it's a service, right? So you would hire them, and men would come in a truck, right? And the back of the truck had a Hoover on it, huge, and they put hoses in through your window and sucked all the dirt out through your windows.
Wow.
And then moved the truck along to the
That's
next
a
person.
Lot of effort if you've just accidentally spilt a packet of Discos.
Isn't it, though?
And you just need to get the crumb. That's why those little handy hand vacs are very good for
They're much better than a truck, I think. Handy hand
a
back.
Lot easier,
much much better.
I do like the fact that old sort of Victorian companies had really long elaborate names.
Yes,
I mean now Hoover, but I do quite like the Electric Suction Sweeper Company.
Yes, I can imagine it in a lovely swirly font. Lovely.
Yeah.
Oh yes.
But nowadays Hoover don't just make electronic suction sweepers.
No.
Make all sorts of domestic appliances.
Yep.
Like washing machines.
Lovely.
Tumble dryers.
Absolutely.
I've got to say though, Phil, to be honest, when it does come to electric suction sweepers, I'd take Hoover over Dyson any day.
You hate Dyson, don't you?
I hate Dyson. I hate their middle-class poncing up of vacuum cleaners with their bright colours and the way they appeal to people who have Apple Macs.
Hey, they absolutely do appeal to those.
Pisses me off.
Somebody with them. And there is I will go so far as to say there is not a person on this planet who doesn't own a MacBook Air and not a Dyson. Those two things don't exist.
And if you want to counter that on Twitter by telling us you're wrong, don't bother.
Don't bother.
Because we're not wrong.
We're not wrong.
You're not wrong.
No, I don't think we're wrong.
You said it.
Dyson as well. Those vacuum cleaners, I mean, I'm sure they looked all space age and wonderful 10 years ago. They are so ugly.
Oh, yeah.
They're the ugliest things.
Well, it was dated as the Pompidou Centre.
The Pompidou Centre is a great example of what they look like. Because nobody is admiring the Pompidou Centre anymore. They're like, oh, God, put some plaster up, because this is rancid. And there's the same with Dyson, right? They look, I don't know if they are over-engineered. They certainly look over-engineered. You know, everything fits on top of everything else. They're not exactly sleek. Tell you what I like. Fucking air ram. That's what you want to call it. If ever there was a vacuum cleaner marketed at men, call it a fucking Air Ram,
yeah, like
it's called
that.
A fucking, it's called a suck hammer.
Suck hammer.
Fucking suck hammer, mate. Get a fucking suck hammer out. That the man who advertises the Air Ram.
G-Tech one.
G-Tech Air Ram.
Yeah.
That man has no friends.
Old Poundshop Dyson, like.
Poundshop Dyson, yeah. in his anal house where his dog has left the tiniest bit of crumb.
That's true. There's nothing in
there's nothing in that house apart from one lonely man with his suck hammer. So,
to be fair though, just out of spite, I'd buy his stuff over Dyson, because I just hate
too.
The way they pont Dyson and ponts things
yeah.
up. And I genuinely don't think they're any better. I think Dyson hand dryers are appalling.
I like Dyson hand dryers.
Do you? I think they're terrible.
I like a Dyson hand dryer.
The badly positioned. We've been through this.
We
on,
have been.
On
if, you want to, if you want to learn about the Dyson hand dryer, then I think you need to go back to maybe the advertising episode
could
of,
be,
of
yeah.
Ultimate Scrutiny, where we cover Dyson's output quite extensively. So, what is the background of the Hoover Free Flights fiasco?
The Hoover Free Flights promotion was a marketing promotion begun in 1992 to sell surplus washing machines and vacuum cleaners.
Right.
Okay. So at this time, the company was coming under a lot of pressure from competitors, and kind of seemingly more trendy brands were starting to get in on the game.
Yeah.
So that meant that a lot of Hoover stock was piling up in warehouses and something needed to be done.
So they've got a load of Hoovers that are on the turn.
Yeah.
People aren't going to be buying these Hoovers. They're looking like old Hoovers.
Mm.
How do we get all these Hoovers out the door, mate? That's just a sale.
Yeah, right? Standard stuff.
Standard sale. They've got old stock they need to shift.
Yeah. So the British division of the Hoover Company decided that what we'll do is we'll promise free airline tickets to customers who purchase more than £100 worth of products.
Isn't that mad, though?
Yes.
I mean, is it as mad as it sounds? I'm expecting you to say, oh, there's a reason, some caveat that there's a reason why that wasn't as mad as it sounds.
Well, if we move on through this one a little bit, you'll see that there is some logic to this.
Oh, okay.
You see. Well, first of all, before we get into that, you have to remember this is 1992.
Yeah.
There's no real kind of EasyJet. Budget airline.
Yes, the budget airline boom hasn't happened.
Yeah, the boom hasn't happened. So getting a airline ticket for £100 is pretty good going in those days.
Yeah.
So it was a big thing. It was a really big thing for most people. But initially the offer was for 2 round-trip tickets to destinations only in Europe. So this was so obviously the prices for the flights are cheaper.
Yeah. I mean, even so, like if today you spent £100 on a vacuum cleaner and you got a free flight to Geneva or something, I would still be like, that's mad. Like, even if it was frickin' Paris, somewhere really close, it's still like an insane offer.
I'll tell you why it kind of seems insane at the beginning, but it's kind of made sense initially.
Mm.
The promotion, you have to remember, it worked because not everyone who bought the Hoover got round to claiming their tickets.
Right.
Some people just go, oh, yeah, I must do that. Never did. That obviously saved the company money.
Yeah.
Also, the promotion was handled by a surprisingly now defunct travel agency called JSI Travel.
Yeah.
You see, their idea was that beyond the revenue from the tickets, once you send off for your vouchers and stuff, they can try and upsell you. So it's all well and good. Go, yeah, we've got free tickets. And then they come in hard at you with, to get your tickets, would you like insurance? Would you like a hotel package? Would
you
like car hire? So you had to tread
cross-selling.
Quite a lot of hoops to get these tickets. And hopefully they could whack up the money you spend.
Okay.
So they were kind of hoping that the price of the tickets could be offset by the extras that people
were buying.
See,
that seems a lot more like synergy, if you see what I mean. Like they're saying, oh, we're going into business with another business and the two businesses come together, we both make a little bit. We sell a Hoover, you sell a hotel room, everyone's happy.
Yeah, and that I think is why the European promotion worked really well.
Yeah.
In fact, it worked phenomenally well.
Okay.
Actually, because it not only led to Hoover completely clearing out of its surplus stock, but it led to an increased production in Hoover factories. So that staff, not just getting rid of old stock, they're having to work overtime to get supplies.
Yeah.
So that's good. But this bit I like, the John Nairn, who we'll be coming back to, is a consumer journalist. And he said, "My favourite wedding present at the time was a Hoover. and it was not unknown for a married couple to get anywhere between 6 and 12 Hoovers as wedding presents.
Wow.
However, there was no free flight vouchers with them because they'd all been used by the people who purchased the Hoovers. So, essentially, couples were getting Hoovers. It's purely because the people who gave the gift, like, we get a flight out of this.
That's great, isn't
yeah.
it? 6 Hoovers on your wedding day. There's a nice view into your future.
That's brilliant. I love it. Okay. That's people yeah. going, we got to do something
nice. How can we make a buck?
By the autumn of 1992, the promotion had gone so well
yep.
that Hoover took the fateful decision of expanding this offer to include free flights to destinations in the United States.
Spend over £100 on any Hoover product and we'll give you 2 return flight seats to either New York or Florida. 2 return flight seats. Unbelievable.
And in 1992, Phil, if you were off to Florida on your holidays and it wasn't being subsidised by Hoover,
yeah.
you probably had a chest freezer in your garage and were doing pretty well.
Yes.
I always thought in the 80s, my mates who like went off to Florida on holiday, they normally had chest freezers in their garage and they were doing freezer. Well.
You have to be making a bit of coin to have an outside fridge.
Mm. But you can see that this worked very successfully in Europe.
Yep.
Because of all the upselling, the fact that the ticket prices were a little bit cheaper.
It is a little bit less mad.
Yeah. And then somebody has gone, you know what, this is going so well, let's do it somewhere where thousands more air miles and fuel costs will come into play.
And somewhere vastly more aspirational to go. That's like saying, well, our free vouchers for Iceland have done well, let's do Harrods.
Why go to Dresden when you can go to Miami?
Exactly, and that's what I've always said.
Needless to say, Phil, based on all of that, this US promotion started extremely well. Hoover were selling products in the UK like they had never done before. The staff were all continuing on overtime and the market share of the company went up to over 50%, which is the first time that had ever happened.
They'd have been over the moon. Yeah. They'd have loved this.
They would have been thinking this is the best thing. The bosses would have probably had a glass of champagne
yep.
to celebrate. And of course, Hoover were chuffed to bits with this. Although the flights to America would actually be quite pricey for the company, Hoover calculated that only a small number of customers would ever get around to redeeming their vouchers. And that's a logical thing for them to say, because the projections were based on the previous European offer.
But that's a big error, isn't it?
It's a massive error, because like you said earlier, they hadn't calculated that US is much more tempting
yeah.
than going to
yeah.
Latvia.
You know, a chocolate is better than an apple, isn't it? You can't do projections for yeah. chocolate based on apples.
Even though people wanted to go to the Big Apple.
Nice!
Beyond all of that, though, you know, people are always savvy for a bargain, aren't they?
And what a bargain.
Well, it's a bargain, yeah. The public worked out if you spend £100 on a Hoover, you get flights that were worth £600.
I mean, yeah.
So that's a saving of £500 if you've been planning on going to America.
Yeah.
Or a nice cheap holiday in a brand new vacuum cleaner if you want. It's an absolute win-win on the surface for the punters.
It's fucking Santa Claus mad.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? They're just giving you £500.
Mm. So this is the situation we're in, Phil. Thousands of people have bought their new Hoovers, usually the cheapest qualifying model for the promotion, which was called the Turbo Power Total.
It's great Hoover. Fuck Hammer. Fuck Hammer 5.
So all these people with their Turbo Power Totals, Fuck Hammer 5s and... air yeah. wanking 6.
Air wank 24.
They're all sitting back smugly, aren't they, going, we've had a right deal here, just sitting back there, you know, getting stuff out their chest freezers,
yeah,
waiting for their free flight tickets to turn up. So in short, Phil, and I hope you don't mind, but I'd actually quite like to say this bit as a BBC Watchdog presenter, if
I
that's
think
okay.
that's perfectly appropriate. Yeah.
Okay. Just as Hoover customers were about to jet off to the Big Apple or Florida, their holiday dreams would turn sour.
So, I mean, it would come as no surprise that people started to report that their free flight vouchers didn't turn up. John Nair, do you remember him? The consumer expert we heard from earlier, did a clever bit of sleuthing himself.
Ooh.
Hoover said they booked the flights for the American offer. So he went to all of the airlines operating for the USA out of Glasgow Airport. So John Nair was based in Glasgow. And he found out that Hoover hadn't booked any flights to the US at all.
So they weren't sending out airline tickets to people because they hadn't actually booked any flights for people.
Not at all. Well, certainly not flying out of Glasgow. Mm. His findings were published in the Scotland's Daily Record. They were the first paper to break this story that they basically weren't going through on this offer, right? Mm. It's quite normal in the newspaper world. Often stories get broken in local papers before they get picked up by the nationals and it goes bananas, right? And it's one of those instances, right? Before that happened, however, the story proved so popular in the Scottish Daily Record that their switchboard blew up because of the number of people trying to contact them. The media storm was on and the company found themselves creaking under the weight of negative publicity. People are starting to sniff out the fact that it may have been too good to be true and are starting to feel conned.
More importantly, did the switchboard blow up or did it just stop working? I'd like it to actually go boof!
Exploded. The negative publicity made matters worse for Hoover.
All right, how come?
It made more people aware of the promotion. They Barbara Streisanded it.
You know
the Streisand effect?
Yes.
They Streisanded it and made... If you don't know the Barbara Streisand effect, it's where something was a little problem until you pointed out it was a little problem and made it a freaking massive problem.
Relax. Frankie Goes to Hollywood. Mike Reed did it, didn't he?
Yes.
I am not playing this filth. Everyone, I don't know what you're talking about. Never heard of it.
Exactly.
And
made
then it goes massive.
Super smash. It made more people aware of the promotion and therefore more people bought Hoover products. It also reminded people who had bought Hoovers but not yet submitted their free flight vouchers to the company to submit their free flight vouchers. Oh, yeah, we had one of them, didn't we? Fucking get it off.
But I kind of get that. But the people who hadn't yet bought a Hoover...
I know, it's weird.
I wouldn't
Why would you go for it going, oh, they're not doing the things, we better get involved and maybe not get our free flight vouchers? Very strange.
Weird. I guess the logic is kind of, oh, well, here's a massive global company in a pickle. Well, they've got a reputation. They can't get out of this. So we might as well try and get these free flights because they're bound to sort it out.
Yeah, they'll sort it out at some point. Otherwise, people will sue.
Yeah,
isn't it? So
get in
there before they close it all down, right? So maybe.
People are stupid and wonderful.
Yeah. So now, things go from bad to worse.
Mm.
Hoover were receiving 10 times the number of voucher requests than it projected.
Oh, 10 times? That's a lot.
600 pop a go.
Ooh.
600 quid a pop.
But were there any upsides to this?
Exchange and Mart?
All right.
They were doing very well.
What, because everyone was
placing adverts advertising their as-new Hoovers for sale? So you could get a Hoover. This is the thing.
Brilliant.
Buy a Hoover for 100 quid, get a free flight ticket, and then you can sell it like that because it's freaking...
So Exchange and Mart are taking all the advertising money. People play are brilliant.
So Exchange and Mart made a shitload of money in revenue from people advertising their Hoovers they didn't want.
Every cloud.
Especially people who were newly married who had just had Hoovers coming out of their arsehole. Okay, now got to remember that there's a retail chain involved here.
Ah, yes.
The company's products were being sold in high streets by other companies, and these other companies don't really want the backlash when the manufacturing company screws up. Fair enough?
Yeah, that makes sense.
So you're somebody who sells Hoovers.
Mm.
You just want a quiet life, mate.
Yeah, exactly.
I've got a shop who sells Hoovers. I just want a quiet life.
Yeah, it's not their fault.
It's not my fault that you want to go America, mate. I just want to sell a Hoover. Yeah?
Yeah, so I guess it's like, well, you know what it's like, Phil. If you're the poor bloke standing at the ticket barrier and your train's cancelled, people still blame you because they want someone to vent to, or that poor bloke at the ticket barrier is wearing a company badge. And by and large, you know, people are horrible, selfish and small-minded, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly.
So
they put the rail fares up this week, didn't they?
Mm.
Today they put the rail fares up, which is ludicrous because trains are terrible in this country. They put it up by 3%. And they've got like some guy who's the marketing arm of Southern Rail or whatever. And they're screaming at him. And I'm thinking, like, this poor bastard, he's got nothing to do with this whatsoever. His whole job is to just be wheeled out every time they've be called a cunt by the whole country. Hello, yes, hello, no, I had nothing to do with it whatsoever, but off you go. Okay, that's exactly why some high street retailers basically said sod this and started to withdraw the offer unilaterally. So they are going, I'm out, mate.
Mm.
Hey, this has backfired. I'm out. Hoovers are gone.
But that's bad, though, isn't it? Because if the sellers are starting to lose confidence with the manufacturers, then then trust has really gone.
Trust has really buggered, and Hoover don't have an outlet, do they?
No.
You see what I mean? They need the retailers.
Yeah, so the problem at this stage, essentially, is that Hoover didn't really have the money or the manpower or whatever the stupid PC term for manpower is nowadays.
Person power.
To honour its promotion.
So what did they do?
Hoover's American owners, a company called Maytag, intervened. And the first thing they did was sack the company's top three British bosses.
Excellent.
That seemed kind of fair.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah, because I bet they were really cocky when it was going well.
I bet they were.
And then the Hoover American Bits people announced that they were putting an extra £20 million to guarantee the promotion.
They gave them the flights.
Well, they actually began chartering entire aircraft to clean up the mess.
Oh, my God.
And to get those grubby... grubby little hunters off to the US.
They bust them to the US.
Yeah. Oh, I reckon it was more PR, though. Look, we've hired an aircraft. Yeah. Film it. I don't know. And I think I'm right, though, because it wasn't that easy to do that, because Hoover's travel agents, who were dealing with the promotion, they didn't really want to be giving out thousands and thousands of tickets. So they started to really hone down on the offer's small print. You know they're trying to do all this upselling and stuff, so they're really honing down on what they are and are allowed to do with the offer.
Yeah.
So, for example, passengers started to not get offered flights on the dates that were convenient to them. Oh, they were deliberately putting inconvenient dates.
They couldn't
dates.
Do it. So you can only go on the third Thursday of February between these hours.
Yeah, and you wanted to go in October.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and there was a guy called Harry Chishi. Now, he was a Hoover customer. And he stated, they'd done every trick in the book to get out of it. If you wanted to fly from Gatwick, you got off at Glasgow and vice versa. So, that's not encouraging to fly, is it? I sum up Hoover's attitude as ignorance. It was men in ivory towers that really didn't want to talk to the ordinary consumer. That Hoover still carries the royal warrant is unbelievable. And so I am petitioning for it to be removed.
Harry.
Now, a footnote to that.
Harry got a free flight, but he had to go somewhere he didn't want to go.
He had the right hump, didn't he? But I've got to say, Phil, a footnote to that is that a few months after this, the royal warrant was revoked.
Oh, well, that would have made Harry happy.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you why, Phil. Because old Harry Chishi was becoming important.
What?
Oh, yeah. He wasn't just a disgruntled customer with a cockney twang. He was like the Boadicea of wronged vacuum cleaner customers. Oh, yeah.
Old Is this Harry, dude famous, then?
Huh?
Is this dude famous?
He's well known,
really?
Yeah. Yeah, he rallied the victims of this terrible first world problem and called for justice with his Hoover Holiday Pressure Group.
Oh, it's a good job there's no children starving in the world, isn't
well,
it?
Well, exactly, Phil. I mean, you have to think of this pressure group very much like Amnesty International, but staffed by people who have less going on in their lives.
It seems to me like, I mean, I don't know how... What's Harry Chishi's background?
I have no idea. I think he was a catering manager.
Was he? I mean, I suppose you've got to dedicate your life to something, haven't you?
I mean, if some of you are putting cupcakes in boxes all day long. I don't know. Is that what catering managers do? I don't know.
No,
but anyway, he started this pressure group, old Harry Chishi, the Hoover Holiday Pressure Group. Now, they had over 8,000 members.
Wow.
And they actually started to become a real pain up the arse for Hoover because they keep it... taking Hoover relentlessly through the small courts and stuff. You know, imagine each individual, it's every individual taking Hoover to small courts, small claims court as individuals.
So I don't want to pass aspersions, but I bet every member of the Hoover Holidays Pressure Group joined UKIP. Every single one.
Yeah.
There's got to be a correlation there.
And I bet there's a lot of Neighbourhood Watch leaders in
there. Oh,
there's
a lot of Neighbourhood Watch, but a lot of Scout leaders in there, I should imagine. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't. Oh, yeah.
What is in what?
No, I was going to say, I'm not sure how many paedophiles are in there. I don't think I want to say that.
8,000 members. There's got to be statistically one or two paedophiles in there, isn't there?
That's true, yeah.
Just statistically speaking.
What is statistically speaking the number of convicted paedophiles to percentage of the country?
I don't know. I'd love to know. I bet it's really small. I bet it's tiny.
It's quite small, actually.
I don't know if this is slander, but I am going on record to say that at least one member of the Hoover Holiday Pressure Group was a paedophile.
I don't think anyone could argue with that. I don't know. I mean,
statistically speaking,
if we could
the
get the membership list
and then
cross-check it with convictions.
Yeah.
It's all we need to do.
And, you know, even the conviction list wouldn't 100% prove it, because paedophiles are notoriously slippery customers.
So, before we go get ourselves into all sorts of legal ramifications with the paedophilia quotient of this pressure group, I will say that they were quite successful.
Yep.
They managed to get questions asked in Parliament, and old Harry,
yep.
You remember old Harry, Harry Cheeshy, he jetted off to the headquarters of Hoover's US parent company.
Wow.
And, you know, and with the help of this pressure group, customers were just taking Hoover to court all the time. So the company was tied up in all these legal battles up and down the country and all these small claim courts. So it was a pain up the arse for Hoover. So they were working quite effectively, this pressure group. Now, some people, however, went about retribution and justice in a very different way.
Oh, right. Violence.
Not so much violence, but certainly unusual means.
Okay.
And one such chap was called David Dixon.
Right.
Now, David Dixon was a former horse trainer from Cumbria.
Yeah.
And he became, it says here, a national hero overnight by kidnapping a Hoover van.
Man stole a van.
Yeah. Now, I'm not sure you can kidnap an inanimate object. I get what they're trying to say.
Yeah, that's right. I'm going to go outside and kidnap some money.
This doesn't work,
I kidnapped his wallet.
You stole it.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'll explain. Right. Old David, yeah?
Yeah.
Old Dave. He bought a washing machine with the old free flights promotion.
All I done was buy a washing machine, mate.
Sorry, I say what threw me there.
No.
He was from Cumbria.
Yeah, he was from Cumbria, mate. Hey, move around, innit? Basically, I can do one accent and this is it.
Well, anyway, Big Dave the Cumbrian Cockney.
I fucking love the Lake District. Oh, the rolling hills, the mountains, the lakes, bloody wonderful. Lake Mindermere, the home from home. Chef Landon.
Anyway, the fact of the matter is, right, you've got old Dave there. He's bought his washing machine. He wanted his free flights.
I want my free flight from America.
And what's gone wrong?
I ain't got my riches.
And his washing machine's broken down.
Oh, fucking hell, mate. Hey, what's more, he lives in Cumbria, fucking miles away from where I bought it. Finsbury Park.
So what does Big Dave do? He gets the washing machine repairman in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, in an ideal world, that is a perfect setup for a 1970s porno. Yeah, but that didn't happen, to the best of my knowledge.
No.
I'll tell you what.
Fuck him.
I'll tell you what did happen, though, Phil. In conversation with the repairman, Big Dave was telling him all about his woes. Can you give us a rough idea of how Big Dave?
I bought it in Finsbury Park. Fucking went wrong. I'm not going to America. I wanted to see Yosemite Park. Wife's upset.
To which the washing machine repairman replied, "If you think buying a washing machine is going to get you two tickets to America, you must be an idiot."
Fair enough.
Absolutely.
That is a washing machine. I mean, it's true, isn't it? How can you be enraged by something that was obviously nonsense? It's like, fucking, my fucking unicorn didn't turn. I was promised a unicorn. I mean, yes.
Yeah. But
what did he say back to him?
Well, this is the trouble, Phil. This was a red rag to a bull for Cockney Cumbrian Dave.
Yeah.
So whilst the washing machine repairman was working, Big Dave went outside and drove his horse box lorry thing in front of the Hoover van, disabled the brake and dumped it there. Then he went back inside and said to the washing machine repairman,
"An idiot, am I? Idiot, am I? I'm not as stupid as you are. But I'm not going to have to walk home."
The van hijack lasted 13 days.
Or that van stayed there 13 days.
But as Big Dave says,
"There comes a time when you've got to make a stand. I decided I'd had enough of Hoover. And now we're going to have to tolerate a little bit of me."
Oh, I don't like him at all.
I mean, what? I mean, all he's done there is inconvenience
everyone.
A tradesman.
Yeah, that guy's got nothing
he's
to
got
do.
Nothing. He's not going to Hoover head office, isn't he, and saying, "I've got terrible news, Big Dave.
He's really socked it to us.
He's really, really put a spanner in the works. Never mind all of those court cases we're fighting. Big Dave has got one of our pretty old vans trapped behind his horse lorry." Are there interviews with him online?
Yes.
Okay, so this is how he really sounds.
I want Hoover to recognise that I have a legitimate claim to these free flight tickets that they offered when I bought the machine.
I'm on his side now. I think he's got a good point.
Yeah, fair play to him.
Fair play to Big Dave.
Come on, Dave.
Come on, Dave. So what's the aftermath of the Hoover Free Flights fiasco?
Well, I suppose the important thing to say is they got their van back.
Oh, did they? How'd they get the van back?
Well, I think it just blew over.
Yeah, fair enough.
Well, I guess Big Dave probably wanted to use his horse box at some point. He's probably inconvenienced himself overall.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, lost a lot of trade. Can you get this horse here? But no.
In his quieter moments, Big Dave going, you know what? I really need the horse box because I had to transport some horses and I couldn't do it.
I've done myself in here. Oh, what a bug.
I'm down on profits. I'm having to eat out of tins because I've kidnapped a van. I can't even remember why I was so angry on the day.
Well,
they got their van back. Good, I'm pleased.
But could they get back their reputation?
Oh, that's lovely.
Only a third of the 540,000 people who applied for Hoover's free flight actually got their tickets. And I can confirm now, ladies and gentlemen, that the owner of this studio and the man who kindly engineers this session was one of the people who did not get their free flights.
Still angry about it.
The episode cost the company £45 million. Now, that's quite a lot of money, but that's about £100 million in today's money.
Jesus.
And that has to be set off against the £30 million that the company made during the promotion.
Okay.
And then, obviously, the sacking of their three top British employees.
Yeah.
But, of course, what you can't quantify is the long and short-term damage to the brand's reputation. That is what is known, Phil, as incalculable.
Do you think people still remember the... I guess they absolutely do, don't they? Remember
I guess they do. It wouldn't stop me buying one. I wouldn't give a toss.
No, I don't think so. Because the offer was so ludicrous. Mm.
But, you know, this sort of thing about could they bounce back? You had a real problem because you had hundreds of thousands of people now in the country, 540,000,
yeah,
who had Hoover products. That in many cases, they didn't want.
Yeah.
They didn't want the old anal air suck blaster.
No.
And so the result was a massive sell-off of all these items in the second-hand market. So you're exchanging Mart again.
Oh, yeah.
And that meant that potential future customers didn't need to go to a shop and buy a brand new Hoover because they could just go to exchange and Mart and buy a brand new second-hand one.
Yeah.
So Hoover was making no money because no one was buying them.
That's mental, isn't it? Everybody's buying Hoovers.
Mm.
And no money is going to Hoover.
Yeah. So Hoover are kind of screwed. I mean, they did try and fix it. They launched a £7 million advertising campaign to restore their image. Didn't work, though.
What was it? What, the TV advertising and
yeah,
that?
Yeah, and all that.
I guess the thing is, though, is that if you are going to fuck your reputation, it is better to fuck your reputation with a PR disaster than it is something bad with the product. Because I bet all those people who bought Hoovers were happy with their Hoovers.
The ones who didn't sell them on exchange and Mart or give them away as wedding presents.
Well, they had six or seven, didn't they? Do you know what I mean? So you're just selling a Hoover. So it's not like if it had been like they started blowing up, like that Samsung Galaxy phone or whatever, you know what I mean? Or they didn't work or they were shit Hoovers. So that seems to me harder to bounce back from because people who bought Hoovers, they're probably pretty good vacuum cleaners, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's probably going to blow over after a while as long as the product's still pretty good.
I think the problem with it is it's very much that people feel that they were being taken for a ride.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I'm not sure people were. I think the company fucked up and couldn't handle it and then were like any of us, you or I, were like, how do we get
how do we extricate ourselves from this?
Yeah, I don't think it was the case of we're the big corporate people and we're going to screw you little people.
I mean,
they're just like, oh, shit.
I mean, why would they do that? Why on earth would you promise people free flights and not give them to them?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, nobody who wasn't just like a small-time charlatan would do something like that.
Can you imagine, though, if you were one of those people that had ended up on one of these Hoover totally chartered a whole play? Imagine what boring journey that would be with a load of people.
We got our flights.
All of the people who got their flights.
Mm. Yeah, Hoover deserved to look after us.
And all of them, every single one of them's got an Apple Mac.
So this advertising campaign had little effect. And the proof of that is that, if you remember, I said that during the promotion, Hoover's market share was about 50%.
Yep.
3 years after the promotion, 20%. Ooh. That's a massive hit. Wow,
that's a kick in the balls, isn't it?
And with that and this very tarnished brand, the American owners of Hoover, Maytag, they sold the European division of Hoover to their Italian competitor, Candy, at a significant loss from what they'd paid for it just 6 years before, in 1989. And not long afterwards, Hoover's British factories were all closed down for the last time.
Oh, so we closed all that. So this, the British reaction to a relatively honest mistake, closed British factories and got people kicked out of jobs.
You're so like me, because that's exactly what I was thinking. I didn't think, oh yeah, people power, these people need their Hoovers. I thought, you bastards, you made such a fuss, you've actually ruined our manufacturing industry and cost jobs. Oh, shut up. You got a Hoover.
Yeah, you got
Who
a Hoover.
Who cares you didn't get your flight?
It didn't work out. Yeah. The free flight to America didn't work out. And do you know what? America don't want you. They want people who can pay.
Well, I was thinking about this, right? If I'd have gone into this promotion and bought a Hoover and it just eventually never got my flight, I'd just go,
Yeah,
exactly. That's a bummer, isn't it?
Yeah. That's not how to book a flight to America. Do you know what I mean?
No.
Like if it's if you really want to go, like, make sure you go. You don't buy a Hoover and hope that a voucher turns up. I'm not somebody who stands in at the end of a very long queue in Morrison's with a book of vouchers. I'm not that man.
No, no.
You know what I mean? But some people are, you know.
Never use vouchers.
Never use them.
The only one I occasionally use is sometimes I go and visit Mum.
Yeah.
And she goes, oh, here's a Tesco club card voucher for you.
Yeah.
And you scan it. Yeah. And it gives you £3.50 off whatever you've bought, or £5.
But I'm not flicking through a book.
Never done
onions,
the vouchers.
Carrots.
Not interested. No. Won't do the loyalty cards. Can't be asked to carry them.
And I tell you what, it's not because you're minted either, is it? Do you know what I mean? You know, people say, oh, you know, the reason you don't use vouchers is because you're all, you know, you've got loads of money. We are on our arse.
Oh, absolutely on our arse. Absolutely. The trouble is, right, I've got no money at the moment.
Yeah.
I've got absolutely nothing. What I do have, though, are vouchers from Christmas.
Yeah.
So I can't eat, but I can go into Decathlon and buy a nice tracksuit and pretty much anything I want off Amazon.
Yeah.
So
it is mad.
I might starve
time.
To death, but I'll be wearing a nice tracksuit.
You can do what the Donner Party did and eat the shoelaces. But, Phil, come on. What the audience is crying out for, what happened to Harry Chi-Chi?
What, the Boadicea of wronged vacuum cleaner customers?
Absolutely.
Well, he spent 10 years of his life.
Oh, Harry Chi-Chi.
Trying to get Hoover's parent company, Maytag, to honour their offer.
God almighty.
To give it his proper attention, he gave up his job as a catering manager.
Oh, God, I hope he didn't have children.
Oh.
What a thing to do. There must be better causes. I bet there's homeless people on his street.
It's such a first world problem.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I get you. There is an element of, hang on, they've taken the piss out of us. I don't think they willingly took the piss out of people. I think it was a massive fuck up. And they went, actually,
That has had no effect on his life.
No.
If it had been sort of something that had a major effect on his life, but he's just not got to do a fun thing.
Yeah, he got his Hoover
and he didn't get to do the fun thing.
Mm.
So it's not like they said, oh, we'll give you a free kidney, and then he didn't get his kidney and died or something. Do you know what I mean? It's like, you were going to get a jolly and you didn't get your jolly, so like, booty hooty hoo.
Yeah, move on with your life.
Yeah.
Don't leave your job and devote 10 years of your life to it.
He's fucked his own life, though.
Yeah. Well, he says that, actually.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, he ruminates on this, and he says it became a little bit all-embracing. I'd argue it possibly did, Harry. It takes up your whole life. I was in too deep. You do get sucked in. I see what you've done there.
That's
Harry.
Clever.
I lost a fortune and had to sell my house in 2001. Basically because of Hoover. But despite all of that, the Boadicea of the wronged vacuum cleaner customers is proud of what he achieved. I wouldn't do it at my age now, but at 38, I was a perfect age to fight. I got a lot of personal satisfaction from it. They didn't get away with it. Harry never got his free flights, though.
I bet Harry never got his
good
free
flights. Good on Hoover,
flight.
I say.
Well, I'm with Hoover.
I'm with Hoover. It's wrong, isn't it?
It was it was a ballsy marketing ploy that went pretty badly wrong for them. And really sort of seemed to like rocket them towards people who, I'm going to say it, probably a little bit entitled.
I think of them as grubby bargain hunters.
I'm trying to think of something it's like, like you could equate it to. It's like...
Shall I ask our studio?
Yeah.
Hang on a sec. Mike?
Yeah?
Would you consider yourself a grubby bargain hunter?
Of course.
Oh, right. So, see? Thank you. See? I'm
Case
right.
closed. Case closed. So, Phil, that was the Hoover Free Flights fiasco. Our fault, God's fault? What do you reckon?
I think ultimately it was the fault of whoever it was at Hoover who signed it off.
Yeah.
All right, it's a crap idea, but a crap idea is nothing unless it's acted upon.
Exactly.
So whoever signed that and went, yep.
Yes, that's right. It's their fault. Because...
And Harry Chi-Chi's fault for the fact that we have no manufacturing industry in this country at all anymore.
Harry,
it's all
Chi-Chi.
His fault. I'm glad he lost his house.
Harry Chi-Chi has got a lot to answer for, I think, Harry.
And I hope Big Dave the Cumbrian Cockney's racehorse training business went...
Fell into the sea.
Up. Yeah, yeah, and he's got to drive... motorboats on Windermere at £2 a pop for tourists he hates.
I hope he has to do that. If you look to your left, see the beautiful Cumbrian Hills. I do feel sorry for people who didn't get their flights. They would have been disappointed.
Well, yeah.
But...
You know,
you've got to...
Live within your means.
And if... you know the whole thing, if something sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Mm. I know that it's, you know, it's on the verge of sounding fraudulent, but it's just the maddest offer there's ever been. You know, buy a £100 Hoover, you'll get a £600 flight. It's insanity.
I suppose the issue is you could accept an honest mistake... But if a company then tries to rectify that honest mistake by not rectifying it and trying to weasel their way out of it and go, but there's a part of me that would just go, yeah, I get it, Hoover, you fucked this up. Yeah, all right, no worries. Got a nice turbo power thruster or whatever, you know.
I got my Cockram 4000, you know, it's a nice Hoover. And, you know, Exchange and Mark did pretty well out of it, so, you know.
Are they still going?
I doubt it. I imagine the internet fucked them pretty harshly.
I'd imagine.
Imagine Exchange and Mart. Yeah, Auto Trader. I can't imagine a business getting more roundly fucked by the internet.
Auto Trader, yeah, the blacksmiths of the millennium.
So that was the end of the Crash Bang Wallop podcast for this week. Phil, do you enjoy it?
Yes, I did. Up Hoover.
Up Hoover. Yes. Actually, I've come out of that with more respect for Hoover than I thought I would. I don't know why.
I feel quite sorry for the people who got sacked.
I feel sorry for the people who got sacked. I do feel sorry for the people who didn't get their flights.
Yeah.
But, you know.
But live with it. Get on with it. There's bigger things to worry about.
I think that if you...
I can't eat.
Exactly. You genuinely can't eat. And I think that if you had to go to America for something and it was important... If it's important, don't try and get there without... I don't know. Yeah. I feel... I'm not sure how I feel about this, but I don't feel like Hoover are villains in this piece. Really.
I would not trust getting to my brother's wedding based on what a vacuum cleaner company can offer, come up with.
Exactly. It seems a little bit out of their purview, doesn't it? So there we go. So that was that. Mm. What are we doing next time?
We are going to do the Quintin's Hill rail disaster.
Oh, really? Not heard of that.
Wow.
Is it the first rail disaster we've done? I think it is.
It is, yeah.
Lovely. So looking forward to that. Big death toll?
Yeah, pretty big.
Okie doke. So
big.
It's a bleak one.
Back to what you like.
Yeah, that's right. Do you prefer the bleak ones or do you prefer the funny ones?
I prefer the business fuck-ups.
Do you?
Yeah.
I like the cannibalism, limb from limb ones.
Which I think sums us up, because you like horror films and like carry-on films.
This is very true.
So I think that's...
very true. If you enjoy this podcast, you can follow us on Facebook, can't you, Philip Lucas?
You can.
What's the address for Facebook?
Just put in Crash Bang Wallop. It'll come up.
We'll turn up, say something nice about the podcast, or something nasty, anything really, just something that we can chat about. Be lovely just to know that we're not alone in the world. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? Twitter, we're on Twitter.
Yes, we are at CB Wallop. We like Twitter, don't we? Twitter's our favourite choice of interaction.
Please review us. That would be amazing. We've got lots of nice reviews recently and they all help. So the more of those we can get, the better.
I think so. I mean, I don't think we're the best podcast in the world.
No, I think we are the best podcast in the world.
Oh, okay.
What do you think is the best podcast in the world?
I've no idea, but I absolutely don't think we're the worst.
No, there may be some above us, but there is an awful lot below us. We are on some pretty thick bedrock of terrible podcasts below us, right? We might not be Marc Maron, right? Oh. But we are not three blokes in their bedroom talking about cake.
No, we're two blokes in a studio talking about Hoovers.
Exactly, and there is a very real and palpable difference. So that was the end of episode 13?
13, I believe, yes.
Of the Crash Bang Wallet podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Join us again in 2 weeks' time when we'll be discussing a massive train crash and that. Thank you so much for listening. We will see you next time. God bless you. Happy New Year. God bless you. Happy New Year.
I'm just going to carry on beating my chest like a gorilla.
Happy New Year, Governor. If you're still listening this far into the podcast, God bless you. Your podcast geniuses. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next time. Goodbye.
One of my nipples is erect.
No.